I really like to rabbit hunt, and I like to fish. Used to like to squirrel hunt off good, but I just ain't got no breath to climb these hills now. But I can rabbit hunt in these level and these bottoms and things. But I smother a lot. Sometimes I just about smother out. I have to get up out of the bed and hit the fresh air out in the porch sometimes. Of course, I don't know where Marion does any rabbit hunting or not. In my opinion, he don't, though. Oh yeah, as long as I'm able to play my banjo and rabbit hunt and fish, that's what I'm going to do. Yeah, as long as I've got to live. And if Marion outlives me, whenever I get to where I can't get up, I'll make him lead me around. Of course, I don't know where he would. He'd liable to run me over a cliff, so you can't ever tell. But I'm 58 year old, and I don't know how old Marion is. He says he's 66, but he looks like he's about 75 or 80.
He's had the hard living.
Huh?
He's had the hard living.
Yeah, he's worked awful hard, I guess Marion has in his life. Yeah, I'd say he has. He's worked awful hard. Yeah. Who do I think's a good musician around here? Well, besides Marion is one of the best I've ever come up with around here. He's good on a guitar or mandolin, fiddle. I'd say all the way around here in Kentucky, up my parts here, I'd say Marion is the best musician there is. All the way around musician. With a fiddle, guitar, and a mandolin. Of course, I like on a banjo, I like Don Reno style myself, but I never could do it, though. You can't hardly do that drop thumb. But I do just about anything drop thumb that anybody can do with three fingers. It don't bother me a bit. Like shucking the corn, and I do that drop thumb, and Malkin banjo, I do that drop thumb, and Foggy Mountain Breakdown, just anything, any three finger tune that a three finger banjo player can do it, I can do it drop thumb.
Lee, what made you decide to what happened that you didn't
want to go? Well, I got my finger messed up, my third finger here, and got it broke, and it's all bent down, and I can't do it no more, and it's crooked just right for that drop thumb, and I just sat down and started putting it together, that drop thumb, and I've made a pretty good go at it. I get the double roll and everything on that drop thumb like a three-finger banjo players does, and I just can't work my finger on three fingers no more. The end of it is numb, it's dead, and I can't feel what I'm doing. But now it's crooked down, and it's crooked just right for that drop thumb. Marion does a little clawhammer banjo. Yeah, I think maybe he taught a little once over about counting somewhere over there. But I never did get up with him to get any lesson off of him, but I think maybe he taught banjo over at counting a little. Oh, what, Marion, you can't hook him up wrong. I never did see him try to play one of them dulcimers, or one of them hammer dulcimers, or what you call them. I never did see him try to play one of them, but anything he's ever picked up, he's made a good go at it. I guarantee he'd catch it in just a time or two watching him. I tell you what I seen him do in the studio over there in Big Stone Gap, Virginia, Charlie Maggard's. There's a country band come in there and cut an album, they wanted a fiddle in on it, and Marion told Charlie to roll the record. He stood there and listened at it, and he put them earphones on, and he dubbed that fiddle right in on it. Perfect, buddy. Never even missed a note. I don't think I could do that myself.
Well, I think you could do it.
but now he can. Yeah.
Now, do you think your daddy had a whole lot of impact on you
learning that drum song? Oh, I'd say he did, yeah. Yeah, I feel that I just inherited it because on my daddy's side, all of them, even my grandma, his mother played the banjo. She played left-handed. And his daddy, my grandfather, my dad's daddy, he played banjo and fiddle. And all my uncles played. They called me and asked me if I'd be interested in working in a coal miner's daughter. And I said, yeah, I said I would. And so they asked me, could I get a hold of Marion Sumner? And I said, yeah, I can get a hold of him. And said, this guy, this producer, he's from England. He said, you come to Wise, Virginia, says, and you come to the hotel out there. I forget the name of the hotel now. I said, and ask for my suite. And so we did, and we had her music with us, and we went right up to his suite, but he hired us right there. Of course, it was for 2 or 3 weeks. They was having big cocktail parties every night and trying musicians out. I even went myself and tried out for it. And then whenever they got ready to shoot the picture, well, he called me and asked me to work in it. He asked me if I wanted to.
What'd you think about being in
it? I liked it. Man, I liked it a lot. I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of good laughs and everything. And we's on Upper Cumberland up there, and this producer, we was taking a break, you know, and Marion hit one of them swang tunes on the fiddle. And that producer was watching him, and he asked him, could he read music? And Marion said, no, sir. Said, not a line of it. He said, well, how in the world did you learn that? And I said, I taught him everything he knowed. Well, he just quit talking to Marion and started talking to me. We had a lot of fun. They come over at Whitesburg and got us, I believe it was in that Patsy Cline bus, Universal Studios got her bus. Yeah, they had it in here, and they come over to, well, over at the Apple Shop and got us, and hauled us over on Cumberland River. And then they brought us back. Eat one meal a day, and what I mean, it was a meal. Now, you got all you wanted. The best of food was going. They'd give you a cup of coffee or a beer, drink a liquor, or whatever what you wanted, but me and Marion didn't take no beer and her liquor. But we took coffee all the time. Where they had the square dance there at that school, you know, the pie supper? They had to auction the pies off, and they had a square dance there, and me and Marion done that part. And well, just a little bit of scene of it there, but they worked us about 2 days and nights on that one little scene there. Whenever they start on something, they'll work all night on it or all day or get it the way they want it.
What'd you think when it came out and started something on the big screen?
Oh, I didn't know what to think. It gave me a thrill.
Did you see it the first time in Louisville?
Yeah, the first time in Louisville. They paid her way out there and back to see it. And me and Marion went. They got Marion down and liked to trample him. All I see was his head. They like got him.
What did they do to him?
They just, such a big crowd of people, they tromped all over him. Got him down. They sure did. Hadn't been for state police took us out there, they'd have hurt him real bad.
Did they talk like that?
No, they was trying to make way into that theater there, trying to get ahead of everybody, you know. This man, they's the awfulest crowd there it ever was. And they was trying to make their way into that theater, and they just walked all over him, got him plumb down. I thought he was crying, but he weren't, though. I hope to get him up. He's laughing. But now, in a little more, though, they would have hurt him real bad.
Did you
Oh, yeah, we never had a fight in our life. No, we never did. Never was mad at each other. We always just had a good time together and played music. And it's just like this. What he don't know, I help him out. And what I don't know, he helps me out. If he messes up on a fiddle, I line him out. And if I mess up, he lines me out. That's never we playing twin fiddle, you know. Especially on twin fiddle, you know, anybody will mess up. Marion, some of these old tunes, what I'm speaking of, it's been so long since Marion has fiddled them, see, he forgets, you know. But now he knows them once he gets on them, you know. But whenever some old tune, you know, that he ain't heard for years or something, and I can fiddle it, why, if he can't get it just right to what I was speaking of, I show him how it goes, you know. And then one that I can't get, why, he'll show me. We just work together through and through.
Lee, let's go back. One of the stories that's always stood out in my mind that you told me exactly
about the dad. Oh, yeah. He bit him off a mail route and he started carrying the mail and then he got to watching him work in a big bottom of corn, a hoeing corn. And he told his brother-in-law if he'd fix him a tool the way he wanted it, that he'd help him hoe corn. They just laughed at him and so he just kept right on till they finally fixed it for him, and that was his hoe. They put a strop on it. And he run his left arm through this strop on the hoe and let the handle come back and under his arm, and he hoed corn with it. That's the way that he worked with the hoe, and he also done his mattock the same way with a strop on it. But he didn't have no strop on an axe. He could use a cross-cut saw, or he could drive a nail. He had him a little brick, piece of a brick with a hole in the middle of it, and he would set his nail down in that hole, and he had a sledgehammer. He had a strop on his sledgehammer, and he would start that nail and then lift that brick off of it and just drive it right on down. Now, there wasn't the only thing you had to do for him is tie his shoes for him. He put his clothes on and shaved himself all but under his neck. He couldn't shave under his neck. And some of the family always done that for him. His hands is blowed off, you know, and his arms is so short he couldn't get them up shaved under his neck. But now he'd shave his face and comb his hair. And why, he would just sat on this earth what he could do. These people had come fur and near to watch him work, you know. And I done his shoe and his horse for him all the time, and he hewed the horse's foot with a drawing knife. You know, that's a thing that you level their feet, cut their feet with, you know, and level their feet down. And he done his own trimming his horse's hoofs himself. He put that drawing knife right between them stubs, buddy, and he'd grip it, and he'd bring shavings off that horse's foot aside to look at. Take a corn dropper and drop corn. Or whenever he plowed, he'd catch the plow handles right in the hugs of his arms. He'd plow all day. I've seen him lay off corn ground on the mountain so steep a horse's feet would slide out from under. I don't guess there's a soul in Letcher County that's growed up in manhood or womanhood that didn't know that. Everybody knowed him. He worked on the WPA, carried water, and then he used a shovel and rolled a wheelbar. Oh, he'd just do anything. Fish, he'd go a fishing. He'd catch fish too, squirrel hunt. I've got his guns right here that he had fixed to shoot his guns. I've got them right here at the house, and I've got all of his tools here. And I've got them put up. I'm just going to keep them as long as I live.
Do you think he had a big impact on you as far
I'd say, yeah. I'd say so, yeah. Yeah. Boy, I tell you, he was a small man, but he was all muscle. I've seen him hoe corn, and where his hoe handle would rub his side, they'd be blisters as, oh, a sight on this earth. Where he'd blister and bust, and I've seen his arms get festered up, you know, where they'd bruised, you know, and they'd swell, that'd be a sight. But it didn't stop him, he went right on. Worked right on. Yeah, I did. I've thought of my dad, although I never did hear him play, but I thought of him a lot, and my uncles. I've got one uncle living right today. He's a real banjo player. He plays the old banjo, old-time banjo, and he lives on Bull Creek. Now he can really play these old time banjo tunes, and I learned a lot from him too, but as bluegrass kinda got a little bit popular, you know, as I growed up, I've sorta left some of the real old tunes and come right on up with it. But I can still do the old tunes though. But now he's really an old time banjo player. Yes, I've been a union man all my life. In the mines, never worked ununion in my life. I always got union wages. Now, whenever I was 16 years old, whenever I went in the mines, I might have not got union wages. But after I become 18, I always worked union. And I guess I'll die a union man. I believe in the union strong, because it's helped me out in so many ways. You know, whenever you had them United Mine Workers cards, if you got sick, you could just go to the hospital and lay there for 6 months, and it didn't cost you a penny, you know. And now, whenever you go to get some medicine or something, you have to give $1.50 for a pill. That makes it hard on about him. Of course, I ain't got no card now, but I still will stand up for the union for what it has done for me. Now, growing up, been awful good to me.
Did you ever get involved in any strikes?
Oh, yeah. Two or three of them. Yeah, I've been involved in strikes before now. I don't like that. Not at all.